All right, so let's get into this whole thing about inflation.
Okay.
We're checking out this really cool episode of Free to Choose, you know, the one with Milton Friedman from way back in 1980.
Oh, yeah.
He really breaks down, like, what happens when, you know, money goes a little haywire.
Right.
And we're going to kind of put, like, a think and act locally spin on it today.
Okay.
So we're going to be looking at how understanding these huge economic forces, you know, like inflation, can actually, like, help you out in your everyday life and in your community.
Well, what's really cool about this episode is that Friedman, he uses real stories to explain things, not just, you know, dry economic theory.
Yeah.
For example, he takes us to this ghost town, Body, California. Ever heard of it?
A ghost town.
Whoop.
Not really. What's the connection to inflation?
Okay, well, Body was like this booming town during the gold rush back in the 1800s. But Friedman uses it as an example to show that even gold, something we usually think of as super valuable, can become basically worthless if there's just way too much of it around. Think about, have you ever seen like a hot new gadget that everyone wanted, and then suddenly the price like skyrockets because the demand was so high?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get that. Like limited edition sneakers.
Exactly.
Or concert tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of a mini version of what happened in Body. More gold meant higher prices for like everything.
Interesting.
And Friedman takes us even further back in time to colonial America.
Okay.
Guess what people were using as money back then?
Colonial dollars.
Nope. Tobacco.
It's tobacco.
Tobacco. Imagine having to lug around 100 pounds of tobacco to pay for, well, anything.
Wow.
It sounds funny, but it highlights how really anything can become money and how quickly that money can lose its value if there's too much of it around.
Wow, that's wild. So inflation isn't just this like abstract idea in a textbook.
Right.
It's actually shaped history in some pretty crazy ways.
Exactly. And it's still shaping our lives today. Friedman makes this like really strong argument that the root cause of inflation, it often lies in government policies.
Okay.
Specifically, like how much money is being printed. When the money supply grows faster than the goods and services being produced, you get inflation.
Okay. That makes sense. But how does this, you know, too much money situation actually affect prices?
Okay.
Can you give me like a real world example?
Okay. So imagine there are only 10 apples in your town and everybody has $1.
Okay.
Each apple might cost $1, but suddenly everyone gets $10. Now they're all willing to pay more for those same 10 apples.
Yeah.
Maybe someone offers $2, then $5, then $10 for just a single apple. And that's inflation in action. Too much money chasing too few goods.
Okay, I'm starting to see how it all connects. But
yeah.
What about those things that, you know, people usually blame for inflation?
Okay.
Like you always hear about labor unions demanding higher wages or the price of gas going up.
Yeah, Friedman tackles those head on. He says those things are often symptoms of inflation, not actually the causes. Think of it like blaming a fever on the thermometer.
Okay.
The thermometer is just measuring the problem. It's not creating it.
Okay, that's a great analogy.
Huh.
So if we're thinking about this, think and act locally. Like we talked about, how does this all connect to things that are actually happening in our own communities?
Right. Well, imagine that those 10 apples we were just talking about are now houses in your town.
Okay.
As the cost of like everything goes up, people need to earn more money just to keep up. So they ask for higher wages at their jobs. But then if businesses have to pay everyone more, they have to raise their prices even higher. It's like this vicious cycle.
Right.
And it can put a real strain on families and local businesses that are just trying to make ends meet.
It's a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if the government is often, you know, like the main driver of this, what are some of the solutions to inflation? Does Friedman offer any hope?
He does. But he argues that some of the most popular solutions actually make things worse.
Okay.
Like wage and price controls.
Wage and price controls. Can you explain that a bit more? I've heard about them, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
Sure. So you know how sometimes when you're trying to find an apartment to rent, the rent just seems way too high?
Yeah.
Well, some people think the government should just set a limit on how much landlords can charge. That's a price control. But Friedman argues that these types of like quick fixes can actually make things worse in the long run.
Okay.
He compares them to putting a lid on a boiling pot without actually turning down the heat.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, all that pressure builds and the whole thing explodes.
So it seems like a good idea on the surface, but it could lead to even bigger problems down the road.
Exactly. And he uses what happened in Britain in the 1970s as like a cautionary tale. Essential workers, like nurses and ambulance drivers, they went on strike.
Wow.
Not because they were being greedy, but because they were struggling so much to keep up with the skyrocketing prices.
Right.
Imagine what would happen in your community if those essential services were disrupted because of, you know, economic instability. That's what we mean when we say these big economic forces have very real impacts on our local communities.
Mm. That's a scary thought. It makes it feel a lot closer to home when you put it that way.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that Friedman offers some hope.
He does. He does. He points to what happened in Germany after World War II as like a success story. They got rid of price controls entirely and introduced a brand new currency, and their economy bounced back almost overnight.
Wow, really?
It's a really powerful example of how getting those economic fundamentals right can lead to stability and prosperity.
So there is a way out of this inflationary spiral.
Yeah.
But I imagine there's no such thing as like a painless cure, right?
You're absolutely right. There isn't. Friedman compares inflation to alcoholism. The good effects come first and then the bad effects come later.
Okay.
That's why it's so tempting for governments to keep doing it, to keep printing more money. But the cure, things like tightening the money supply and getting government spending under control, those often mean going through a recession before things start to get better.
Ouch. That doesn't sound fun for anyone.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, how does the government actually tighten the money supply? That sounds kind of mysterious.
Well, this is where the Federal Reserve comes in. You know, the Fed, that's the central bank of the U.S. They're like the conductors of the money orchestra.
Yeah.
Trying to keep that money flowing at just the right pace to keep inflation under control. They have a few different tools they can use, like adjusting interest rates. If they raise interest rates, it becomes more expensive to borrow money, which can slow down spending and cool down the economy a bit.
That makes sense. It's like putting on the brakes when the car is going too fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like there are solutions, but they might not be super popular in the short term.
Right, and that's where things get really interesting. Friedman has this panel discussion in the episode with some other experts, and they debate these different solutions. It gets pretty heated.
Oh, I love a good debate. What are some of the things they argued about?
Oh, they got into it about the role of government spending, like how much power the Federal Reserve really has, and whether or not cutting taxes can actually help. It shows you that even the really smart people don't always agree on the solutions. And economics can be pretty messy.
Yeah, it's like what we see happening in politics all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees that inflation's bad, but nobody can figure out how to actually fix it.
It really is. And Friedman even says that we, the citizens, are partly to blame for this gridlock.
Oh.
We demand all these government services, but we don't want to actually pay for them. He calls it the wanting to have your cake and eat it too problem, but like on a national scale.
It's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do want it all without really thinking about the consequences. So where does this think and act locally perspective fit into all of this? Because it feels like we're talking about stuff that's, you know, way beyond our control as individuals.
That's a pretty common feeling, but I think Friedman would say that it starts with like a shift in our mindset.
Okay.
We have to stop thinking of ourselves as just victims of the economy, you know,
yeah.
And start seeing ourselves as like active participants who can actually make a difference.
So instead of just complaining about inflation, we need to kind of like own the problem and actually try to find solutions.
Exactly. And those solutions might be a lot closer to home than you might think.
Okay.
For example, remember how we were talking about like too much money chasing too few goods.
Yeah.
Supporting local businesses is one way to actually like act locally and really help with that.
How does buying local help with inflation? I'm not sure I totally follow that.
Okay, well, think about it this way. When you buy something from a local business, you're keeping that money circulating within your community.
Okay.
That money is then way more likely to get reinvested back into the community, which then helps create more jobs and helps the local economy grow.
So instead of my money going to some like big corporation's headquarters across the country, it's staying right here and supporting my neighbors and my community.
That's the idea. Well, and when you have a strong local economy, it's actually better able to weather those national ups and downs,
okay,
including things like, you know, inflation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what else can we do at like a really local level to help with this?
Well, saving is huge.
Okay.
When people in a community save more, it provides more money for local investments. You know, remember those local businesses we were talking about?
Right.
They need money to grow and to create more jobs.
Yeah.
And that helps the whole community thrive.
That makes sense. But honestly, saving can be so hard these days, especially with prices going up all the time.
I hear you. But even small amounts can add up over time, you know?
Yeah.
Even something like starting a little savings club with friends or neighbors can make a difference. It's about building that culture of saving and investing in our communities.
Yeah, okay. What about investing locally? Can regular people actually do that?
Absolutely. There are actually quite a few platforms popping up that let you invest in local businesses directly. It's really cool. You get to cut out the middleman and support those entrepreneurs and new ideas that are popping up right in your own backyard.
I love that. It's like, you know, you're not just putting your money into some faceless corporation.
Right.
You actually know where it's going and who it's helping.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about buying local, saving, investing. Mm-hmm. What about something like bartering? I remember Friedman mentioning that in the episode, you know, like how people in post-war Germany, they used bartering a lot when their currency was basically worthless.
You're right. He did. Bartering can be a really great tool, especially when times are tough.
Okay.
It lets people trade their goods and services directly without needing to use actual money.
So it's like, if I can bake an amazing loaf of sourdough bread,
yeah,
and my neighbors, it's like, oh, whiz at fixing bikes, we can just like trade our skills.
Exactly. It creates this like web of community support and resilience. And, you know, bartering's actually making a comeback these days. There are online platforms.
Really?
Yeah. And even local barter networks that help people connect and make those kinds of exchanges.
I never thought of bartering as like a modern solution, but yeah, it totally makes sense. So it sounds like there are actually a lot of practical things we can do to build a stronger local economy, even when we're dealing with this like crazy inflation at the national level.
There are. And it's not just about what we do as individuals either.
Right.
We can also work together to make changes in our communities.
Okay.
Things like, you know, advocating for policies that support economic stability and sustainability.
Like what kinds of policies?
Well, we could push for our local governments to be more fiscally responsible, you know, demand more transparency about how our tax dollars are actually being spent.
Okay.
And really fight against those like wasteful spending projects that never seem to go anywhere.
So it's about holding our elected officials accountable.
Yeah.
Just like Friedman was saying about holding, you know, Congress accountable.
You got it.
Yeah.
We can also push for policies that specifically help small businesses and those entrepreneurs. Things like making it easier to get permits or offering tax breaks to help them get started.
Those are all great ideas. But honestly, sometimes it just feels so overwhelming. You know, like, how can we actually get people engaged and involved in these issues? It's so easy to feel like our individual voices don't really matter.
It's true. It can be really tough. But I think Friedman would say that it all starts with conversations.
Okay.
You know, we need to be talking about these economic issues, these money issues with our friends and families and our neighbors.
Yeah.
We have to break things down and really help people understand how these big, you know, scary sounding forces actually impact their everyday lives.
Right.
And that they actually have the power to do something about it.
So it's about taking like economics out of the textbook.
Yes.
And making it real and relatable for people.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe by having those conversations at the local level, we can actually start to build some momentum for change at the national level too.
That's a hopeful thought. But before we get too carried away, we should probably look at some of the potential downsides of this whole, you know, think and act locally approach. It can't all be, you know, sunshine and roses.
Of course not. There are always different perspectives.
Right.
Some people might argue that just focusing on those local solutions is too small scale.
Okay.
They'd say we need to completely change the whole system at like the national level to really get at the root of this inflation problem.
So is it like trying to empty the ocean with a teaspoon? Are all those local efforts like just a drop in the bucket?
Well, it's not quite that extreme,
okay,
but they do have a point. Local solutions can only go so far. We need smart policies happening at the national level, too.
Right.
You know, to manage the money supply and keep government spending under control, things like that.
So it's not about choosing one or the other.
Right.
We need both that individual action and the changes to, you know, the larger system.
Exactly. It's all connected. We need to be working on all these fronts, you know, multiple fronts, to really create some real lasting change. Speaking of working together, we've got to talk about the elephant in the room here.
Okay.
How divided everyone is these days.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to anything about politics or economics. Like, how can we even have these conversations about inflation, about economic policy, without it turning into a shouting match?
Yeah, it does seem like everything gets so politicized these days,
yeah,
even something like inflation, which, you know, affects all of us. So
yeah,
how do we actually have these conversations about it without it turning into a fight?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Friedman actually talks about this in the episode.
Oh, really? What does he suggest?
Well, he says that it's important to really try to stick to the facts.
Yeah.
You know, and not get bogged down in all the ideology.
Yeah.
He encourages people to like really question their assumptions and to try to be open to hearing different perspectives.
That sounds good in theory, but sometimes it's like really hard to do in practice, you know?
It is, but it's a good goal to try to keep in mind. And maybe if we can start by just having these conversations at the local level, like with our friends and our neighbors, you know, where we're more likely to be talking to people who might have different views than us. Maybe that's how we can actually start to build some bridges and find that common ground.
That's a hopeful thought.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we've covered a ton of ground in this deep dive. We've, you know, we have explored inflation, you know, the history of it, how it affects us locally, even how to have those like sometimes tough conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap things up, let's get super practical here.
Okay.
What are some like specific steps that our listeners can take to actually, you know, think and act locally in their own lives?
Okay, let's break it down into like three main areas: personal finance, community engagement, and actually getting involved in, you know, local politics.
Okay, I like that. Let's start with the personal finance stuff.
Yeah.
What are some things that people can do to, you know, protect themselves from inflation and also maybe even make their local economy a little bit stronger at the same time?
First, you got to make saving a priority. I know it can be like way easier said than done when, you know, prices are going up all the time, but even saving like a little bit on a regular basis can make a big difference over time.
Yeah.
It's like building a safety net for yourself.
Okay. Do you have any tips for making saving easier? Because honestly, it's not like my strong suit.
Well, first I would say make a budget. Track where your money is actually going each month.
Okay.
You might be surprised by what you find. And then just look for little ways to cut back on your spending, even just a little bit.
So it's about being like really intentional with your money.
Yeah.
And not just letting it disappear.
Exactly. And saving isn't just about, you know, putting money in a bank account. You can also invest in things that will likely increase in value over time, like, you know, real estate or even precious metals, like Friedman was talking about in the episode.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about investing in like our own education or skills? Would that kind of fall under this saving category?
Oh, absolutely. Investing in yourself, it's what we call human capital.
Okay.
It's honestly one of the best ways to protect yourself from inflation. Think about, you know, taking some classes, learning a new skill, maybe even getting some more education or training in your field.
So it's all about like making yourself more valuable.
Yes.
More competitive, no matter what the economy is doing.
Exactly. The more skills and knowledge you have, the more prepared you'll be for those inevitable economic ups and downs.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. So saving, investing, and investing in yourself. What else?
Be a savvy shopper. Pay attention to prices. Compare them at different stores. You know, maybe think about buying things in bulk to save some money.
Yeah. It's like being a detective for, like, good prices.
It is. It is. Every dollar you can save is another dollar that you can spend locally supporting your community.
That leads perfectly to our next category, that community engagement. How can we get more involved in our communities in ways that really, like, make a difference?
This is where things get fun. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful things you can do is just really make a commitment to support local businesses. Choose the local coffee shop over the big chain. Shop at the farmer's market instead of the mega supermarket.
Yeah.
Every purchase you make, it's like a little vote for your community.
We talked about this before, but why is buying local so important for, you know, the overall economic health of a community?
Because when you buy something locally, that money stays in the community. It supports local jobs, local families. It creates this like ripple effect. And don't forget about the power of word of mouth.
Oh, right.
Tell your friends about those amazing local businesses. Write good reviews for them online.
Yeah, it's like being a cheerleader for your community.
Exactly. And if you're feeling really ambitious, think about ways you can contribute to starting new businesses and creating new jobs in your community.
Hmm. How would we go about doing that?
Well, I mean, if you have a great idea, maybe you could be the entrepreneur. Or, you know, maybe you know someone who's starting a business. Be their cheerleader, mentor them, maybe even invest in their company.
Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
What about getting involved with, like, local groups that are already working on these kinds of things?
Definitely. Check out your local chamber of commerce, any business associations, economic development groups. They're always looking for people with fresh ideas and lots of energy.
So it's about like getting out there and connecting with others who are already, you know, working to make things better.
Right. And even just, you know, showing up and being present in your community. Go to local events, volunteer, get to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
Building those strong social connections. It's a huge part of building a resilient community.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about personal finance. We've talked about community engagement. What about this, getting involved in local politics? I mean, that always feels a little bit intimidating to me.
I get it. It can feel overwhelming, but it's also, where you can have a really big impact.
Okay, so where do we start?
Start by just getting informed. Go to some city council meetings. Read the local newspaper. Find out, what candidates are running for office, what they actually stand for, Really understand how those decisions that your local government makes are impacting your community's economic well-being.
So it's about being like a really informed citizen, actually understanding what's going on and how it affects all of us.
Yes. And then make your voice heard. Write letters to the editor of your local newspaper. Speak up at those town hall meetings. Get in touch with your elected officials and really let them know what matters to you.
Okay. Are there any like specific issues we should be, advocating for when it comes to fighting inflation and supporting our local economy?
Definitely. Remember how we talked about fiscal responsibility?
Yeah.
That's a big one. Let your local officials know that you support things like balanced budgets, transparent spending, and responsible debt management.
So it's about holding our elected officials accountable for how they're using our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Just like Friedman was saying about holding Congress accountable.
Exactly. We can also push for policies that really create this supportive environment for, those small businesses and the entrepreneurs we were talking about.
Right.
Like streamlining the permitting process, offering tax breaks to help them get started and helping them access the funding they need to, really get off the ground.
Those are fantastic ideas.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, it does feel like really challenging sometimes to make any progress on these issues, especially when things feel so politically divided.
It can be, for sure. But remember, a lot of big changes actually start at that local level.
Right.
When we actually build relationships with our local leaders and engage in those respectful conversations and really try to find that common ground, that's how we can start to build some real momentum for, positive change.
That's a really inspiring message. I think we've covered so much in this deep dive. We've explored this complex issue of inflation and how it affects things, both on that big national level and right here in our own backyards. We've talked about how important personal responsibility is, community engagement, and actually, getting out there and advocating for things. And I think most importantly, we've highlighted how thinking and acting locally can really empower us to actually build a better future.
It has been a fascinating conversation. And just remember, even the smallest actions can really have this huge ripple effect. The key is to just get involved, start somewhere, and never stop learning and growing.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it both informative and, motivating. And remember, the future really is in our hands. Let's make it a good one.